Let's stand as we read the scripture today, and it'll take place in Deuteronomy. That's Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 4. And we'll read responsibly again tonight. And Moses went up unto the plains of Moab, unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah to the utmost sea, and the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of the palm trees unto Sor. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for tonight, for the preaching of God's word and our preacher. We pray, Lord Jesus, that our thirsty souls be satisfied with the water of thy word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we hunger, as we hunger tonight, for conviction, as we hunger tonight to draw nigh to you, that Heavenly Father, through the Word of God, through the preaching of God's Word tonight, Lord, that you make that happen as we bring our hearts near to you. Remove anything from us right now, Lord, that may be rushing, may be pending, and help us to put our hearts and our thoughts to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated.
Tonight is going to be very practical, probably one of the more simpler messages. I think I try to come across simple on a regular basis because that's who I am, but probably very practical tonight. And, you know, don't get too excited. Ladies, I wouldn't put your shoes on yet, but if normally when I go ahead and I hold up only four pages, that's pretty good, all right? Just let you know, it's pretty good. But some people would be encouraged about that. Some people say, preacher, it isn't going to work. So as far as the time frame, but I think we might be able to get out of here. Decent time tonight, not for any reason. But I want to speak to you just a little while tonight on the price of a bad choice. The price of a bad choice. Of course, here in our text, Moses had already gone through all of his life, a great leader. We know the story of how Moses was called and different things like that, and how God had literally honed him on the backside of a desert for 40 years, the same desert, the same land, the same terrain that he would later on be leading the children of Israel and taking them to the promised land. And here we find now Moses, he's at the end of his life. He's on Mount Nebo. It's the final chapter. This chapter we find is death. In this chapter we find that the work that Moses had, he is passing it on to a very capable young man by the name of Joshua, another fearless, strong leader and a giant of the faith, a man also honed for this position. But I find this a very hard passage to read, and I'll tell you why. Because Moses is standing, the Bible says he's standing on Mount Nebo. And Mount Nebo is the place that's just outside the promised land, okay? And Mount Nebo is of course, the promised land. It tells, and basically, he gets to see, okay, what he was working for so many years. He gets to go ahead and see, okay, here he is, an aged man now. We're going to turn to another passage in just a moment. But he only gets to see what he had really sweat and worked hard in what God had honed him for. You know, the truth of the matter is God wanted Moses to go ahead and enjoy the promised land just like he did the rest of the children of Israel. But the truth of the matter is you're going to see what a bad choice did. You're going to see a bad choice. And sometimes I think, Lord, you know, sometimes you read certain passages of the Bible and say, God, this just doesn't seem fair. You know, and don't get me wrong, you know, if you read it, and you understand it, and you're going to see the big sin that caused him just to view the land and view the potential of his life. But sometimes I say, Lord, this just doesn't seem fair. This is very sad, you know. But he could not go into it. He saw the beauty of the land that God had promised him, but yet he couldn't go. God had set him aside to be the deliverer of his people, and when Moses had to flee when he killed an Egyptian, you know, back in the Exodus, he was on the backside of the desert. He was being honed and prepared for his later ministry, if you will. He was going to be the deliverer of God's people being in bondage and being under slavery, if you will. The story of the burning bush, and I'm not going to take all the time, but we know the background of Moses, this great man of God. The call of Moses from the bush, take off thy shoes, for where thou standest, Moses, is holy ground. How he gives his excuses to God, I can't speak, I can't go ahead and do this, but God was telling him he can. God was preparing Moses for a big job. Let me just stop and say this, young people, God has a big job for you. Mama and daddy, God's got a big job for you. Sunday school teacher, God's got a big job for you. Preacher, God's got a big job for you. Bus worker, God's got a big job for you. But you know what? One bad choice could throw it right away. One bad decision can throw it right away. You know, and the devil could attack me just like anybody else, but you know what? As a preacher, you know, the devil doesn't like what's going on here. He wasn't smiling one bit about the very fact that Karen got baptized this morning. He wasn't smiling one bit at the fact that dozens of kids came in to just jump around at a bounce house today. He didn't like the fact that one bit that Faith Baptist Church had a good time today, fellowshipping together in good, clean fellowship. The devil was not happy one bit about that. And you know what? The devil do everything he can. He like to do anything he can to infiltrate his spirit into this church and to try to destroy this preacher. Now, I get tired. I get tired, and I have to keep my guard up and so forth. But you know, a preacher's just fallen by the wayside because of immorality. And, you know, I'm talking about people that are just that's not even in our camp. I'm talking about people that even charismatics. But what it does, it makes us look bad. You know, in whatever ministry these others would have, and even in our camp, preachers, godly men that rose up and they fell because of immorality and affairs and different things like that and so forth. And the devil has a heyday with that kind of thing. And the truth of the matter is, their ministry, that ministry that man of God was called to preach at, their ministry was never the same because of one bad choice. I'm talking a little bit about decisions this evening, as you can see. Moses made a bad choice. Moses was, of course, being honed to take God's people into the promised land, and it was for Moses as well. At the end of the day, he was the one to be the deliverer of God's people after all the preparation. The journey was not easy. It's not easy for us today. You know, the devil, he likes to do everything he can to pick and pick and pick at you. You know, no doubt, there's some of us here today, you know what? Church this morning, you had to really wake yourself up and, you know. But it's a decision that must be made. And it's a decision that must be kept. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, opening up the Word of God for yourself personally. I'm talking about your devotion with God, your walk with God. You know, pretty hard decision. You know what? As I've said before, I wish this thing would just go ahead and jump in my lap, but it won't. You've got to make a decision. If I'm going to keep my heart tender and pure and keep my heart nurtured and keep my heart soft towards the things of the Lord and soul winning and winning people, and if I'm going to keep myself seeing the big, big picture of the ministry, man, I've got to walk with God. But you know, it just won't happen without you deciding to do it. You know, the journey's not always easy. The battles will come. The battles will come. It came to Moses. Boy, it came to Moses the very get-go, the very day he was born. Remember the law that the king passed? You know, how the baby boys need to go ahead and be murdered? from the very start, it was a pretty tough road, if you will, for Moses. Moses couldn't even grow up in his own home. He grew up in Pharaoh's home. Of course, God protected him. He had to flee Egypt. The hardening of, you know, the story of hardening Pharaoh's heart, the Red Sea. Moses went through many, many, many times of murmuring and complaining from the people if things didn't quite go their way. Moses on Mount Sinai, when he was given the law, Moses was told to get down off the mountain, for the children were down there corrupting themselves. These are all familiar stories. And he goes down, he sees them naked, dancing around a golden calf, defiling themselves. The Bible says it sounded like a war in the land. They were dancing, and it was their rock music of their day. Pound, 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 pound. Fleshly stuff, wickedness going on. And Moses had a lot to deal with. And later on, at a weak moment, turn to Numbers. We know this story, we know this incident, if you will, but Numbers chapter 20. This is where life changed for Moses as he knew it. Verse number 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Everything so far is going pretty good. He's done everything according to God's plan so far. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. One bad choice. God said, you speak to the rock. But out of anger, he went ahead and he lifted up his rod, and he smote the rock twice. And God said, because of that sin of disobedience, because you did not believe in me, because you went ahead and you literally, in the front of everybody, you couldn't even keep your testimony. You know, you couldn't even go ahead and trust in me and believe in me. And yet, out of your anger, if you will, you went and you smoked that up. Disobedience. And again, thinking of everything that Moses went through, I kept thinking, Lord, wow. Man, if anybody deserved the promised land, when you look at it from our view, it was Moses. When you think of everything he went through. But you know what? God doesn't tolerate disobedience. God does not tolerate sin. And you know what? To every sin, there's a consequence. You may think here tonight, it doesn't matter who we are tonight, you may think you can go ahead and get by with sin, but your sin will find you out. You can hide it all you want, and you can hide it on your mom and daddy. You can hide it on your husband and your wife. You can hide it on other church folks, but you can never hide your sin on God. He knows. He knows. But there's consequences of his sin. Instead of obeying God's command, he, out of anger, disobeyed. I think it was a moment of weakness. I think it was frustration. And it caused him to make a bad decision. And it destroyed all that he worked for. I want to just stop and say this. You young people, whether you're a child or a teenager, there's a lot being poured into you when you think about it. When you think of the hours from godly leadership of people pouring their life into you. I'm talking about a godly mom and daddy, on the most part. I'm talking about your preacher. I'm talking about your Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about your youth leader. I'm talking about your patch of pirate leaders. I'm talking about a bus captain. another leader that you have in your life. Let me tell you something. You know what? You have a whole lot of people in God. You have a whole lot of people going ahead and pouring their life into you so that you can go ahead and make it. You have a whole lot of people that's pouring their life into you to help guide you and lead you into making some right decisions. Let me tell you something. I've seen teenagers, they've gone ahead and they've defied authority. I'm talking about good, godly teenagers. They grew up just like you're growing up right now. They sat up in the front row. They sat in church. They heard the preaching. They heard the tough preaching. They were counseled by their preacher. They were loved by their mom and daddy. But along the way, sin got to them. Their own way got to them. They said, I want to live my own life. I want to make my own choices. And the truth of the matter is, they oftentimes, whenever they go the wrong way, knowing it was wrong, they come back and said, preacher, I wish I hadn't done it. I wish I hadn't done it. I'm reminded of a young lady. When I was teaching a teen Sunday school class in my previous ministry, and this young lady was very faithful to Sunday school, Sunday morning. This was early in my ministry. And she was very faithful to Sunday school Sunday morning. I noticed that she came in late. It was uncommon for her to do that. And she normally sat right in about the center section. We had a room, and she normally sat in about the second or third row, but she went instead to the very back row. And I could tell by her demeanor that something wasn't right. And afterwards, I went ahead and, of course, prayed and dismissed, and I asked this young lady to stay behind here. I want you to come up here. And she came up and her head was down. I said, something's up. I was still a very young preacher at that time, just new into the ministry. But I'd seen this lady, young lady grow. I called her name. I said, what's up? She couldn't look at me. I said, I want you to look at me. What's up? She went ahead and just cried, buckets of tears. She says, Brother Sean, as my teenagers called me back then, I messed up last night. She got alone with a guy, and she lost her purity. And she messed up. She was just wailing, I messed up. I hurt you. I hurt my mom and daddy. I hurt my preacher. I hurt my bus cat. I hurt people. You know what? She could never. She can't go back and change it. She can't go back and she can't walk down a wedding aisle, an aisle of her wedding day one day, clean and pure. All because of one bad choice. One bad choice. You say this, teenagers, it's important you keep your purity. Don't you go ahead just because of some little frill. That's why it's good to you keep yourself clean and pure. You keep your hands to yourself. You know, the only ticket you have to go ahead and kiss and neck and so forth is when you get yourself a wedding ring. Amen. And it's okay. You can have all the fun you want then. Amen. It's okay. But you keep yourself clean and pure because you can never change it. Reminded of another story. This young lady in public school situation. This young lady, she was being mocked at because she was pure. She was being mocked at for her purity, and she had made some decisions in her life. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to walk down that wedding aisle in a nice, pure white dress. I'm going to go ahead and keep myself for the man that God has for me. And she'd be mocked at, and there's a group of girls over there at the cafeteria laughing at her and so forth, and she went over and making fun of her because of her stance. And of course, they were not, they flaunted their behavior and so forth, and she said, she went over there, she says, you know what? Any day I could be like you, but you can never be like me. I'm talking about decision making. You know what? There's consequences to sin. There's consequences to your decisions. Mom or daddy, there's consequences to the decisions you make in raising your children. Teenager, young person, there's consequences in your decision making. You know, when Moses got told this back in Numbers that he could not take the congregation into the promised land, I want to just, this is just a side note before I just get to my thoughts. I like the fact that he didn't quit, though. You know, a lot of people, when you think about this big job, I mean, you know, Moses was prepared. The prize, if you will, was the promised land. He was being honed for this, but you know what? Moses took it like a man. And he did not quit. I like that. That's just a little sign. You know, he kept working his job. He kept on leading the people. You know, I think if it was me, I'd have been a little bit discouraged. You know, and no doubt, I'm sure there was remorse in Moses. Just killed an ant. Okay, it's all right. You know, I didn't want to crawl up my leg and then I'd start running around and you know so forth. It's okay, church. We can laugh tonight. Amen, Daniel. Okay, I'm sure there was some remorse, and there ought to be, Christian, when you know that you've sinned, and you've been found out, you know, there ought to be remorse. You know, you ought to feel bad about sin, and you ought to thank God, listen to me, you ought to thank God when you have the Holy Spirit in your heart to go ahead and convict you of your sin. You know, I like the Christian life, you know what, and when you keep that close walk with God, and when you keep that nurturing with God, you walk with God daily, and you pray to Him, and you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit says? He keeps your act cleaned up. You know, you won't have to make bad decisions if you just go ahead and stay close to the Lord. You won't make some bad choices in your life. I'm talking about choices that are detrimental to your whole life. If you just go ahead and you walk with God every single day, you pray every day, you get under the preaching of the Word of God, you sing His songs, you get on your face before God, and when the Holy Spirit goes ahead and convicts you, you know what, you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have looked at that, I shouldn't have done that. You know what, that's keeping your act cleaned up. If you would just go ahead and stay in tune with God, some of the decisions that we all make, doesn't matter whether you're an adult or a child, some of the decisions that you make will not be detrimental because you're in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there was remorse there, I'm sure, but I like the fact that he never gave up on his job. Just going to give you a few thoughts tonight. I'm just kind of giving you my heart again. Very practical tonight. If you were looking for the deep things tonight, it was not going to be in this particular message, but I want to just give you a few thoughts. Number one, in regards to decision-making, decisions determine your destiny. It did for Moses. Decisions determine your destiny. God's plan for Moses was a promised land, but one decision, one bad choice ruined it. You know, he could not, and all he could do, unfortunately, was get to see what he could have got. All he could do, you know what? He had to die there. He could not step foot into the promised land. All that God would allow him to do. Moses, in a way, Moses, I think God is saying to him, this is what you could have had. And I guarantee you, from the very day that he struck that rock there in the wilderness, from the very day he died, he was saying, what did I do? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that I didn't stay in tune enough with the Lord to control my emotions. And so I can't believe that I went ahead and did that. I guarantee you, that was something, that was a thought that regularly came into his mind. But he only got to see what he could have gotten. Let me tell you something, teenager. God has a big plan for you. But you know what? You make some bad choices in your life in regards to your morals and other different, your friends and your music and what you watch on TV and this and that and everything else. Let me tell you something. You know what? That very beautiful plan that God has for you down the road could be destroyed. And you know what? And yes, there is restoration. Yes, there is a time when you get right with God, but let me tell you something, when you get back up and God does go ahead and restore you, you will always, just like I've seen it time and time again, you'll always look back and say, I wish I had not done that, because You cease to go as far as God wanted you to go because of some bad choices. What I'm trying to do here tonight, teenager, help you make some right choices. Moms and dads, you learn to make some right choices. You be consistent in your decision-making for your kids. Mom and daddy, you be consistent in the choices that you make. You be consistent with your children. You make right decisions for your children. Or if you don't, it's going to affect them. If you smoke or drink, you know what? That will pass on to your kids. You know why? Because they see it down here. Say, you know what? Well, mom and daddy did it. It's okay with me. It must be okay. You do marijuana and drugs. You know what? Well, mom and daddy did it. You live, but if you go ahead and turn the, let's flip the coin over, you get into the Word of God, you walk with God, you pray, you seek His face, you know, it works both ways. You know, it might just be that you'll see your teenager as they grow up reading the Word of God. It might just be that you see a young daughter, your young child, your elementary child reading the Word of God. You know why? Because mom and daddy did it. Hey, moms and dad, make right decisions. Choose church. You know, church ought not be a decision. Amen. It should not be, well, do I go today or do I not go? It ought not be a decision. You ought to choose church. You know, you go ahead and you choose church, and kids will say, you know what? Yeah, church is what we do. I did it as a kid. You know what? I've got kids now. It's what we do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know what? You just go ahead and do it. It shouldn't be a choice. Choose the Word of God. Choose walking with God. Choose living right. Choose the good things. You know, don't be one of these parents that drop off your kids for church and then you go home. I'm not going to park there very long, but I've seen what it does. I've seen it firsthand what it does. You know, and then the parents go ahead and say, "Well, preacher, how come I can't do this at the church? How come I can't do that?" Don't show up at church. You bring your kid, you drop your kids off, and you go home. You say, well, you are on some little tangent. No, but what I'm trying to say, you know what? Lead by example. We need some leadership by example. Decisions determine your destiny. Hey, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Hey, teenager, where do you want to go? Do you want God's best for you? Hey, child, where do you want to go? Hey, mom and daddy, where do you want your children to go? You know, you mom and daddy, you might have made some bad choices in your life. You might have gone ahead and done some things, but you got right with God. Now you know what you don't want your kids to do. Now you know the kind of rules and the kind of decisions you need to make for your kids because you don't want them to go down the road that you trod when you were a younger man or a younger lady. That's why you've got some rules, and that's why you've got to make some right choices for your kids. And that's why you need to go ahead and lead and guide them. That's why you need to lead by example, because you need to go ahead and teach your kids not to travel the road that you went to maybe one day down in the past. Decisions will determine your destiny. Where do you want to go, teenager? Where do you want to go, child? Hey, mom and dad, where do you want your kids to go? Number two, when making a decision, you look at the big picture. That's where we fail. If Moses would have just stopped and breathed a minute. Breathed. Now, Moses was kind of a temper. You know, and dealing with these children of Israel, you know, sometimes I think I can't help but blame them sometimes. Seems like whenever you turned around, they were murmuring, complaining about this or that. But you know what? Moses had kind of a temper. But had Moses gone ahead and he looked at the big picture, he could have gone ahead and got the reward. You know, when making decisions, you look at the big picture. You know, when I moved here, I knew it was a will of God. Again, the story is very familiar. I knew it was God's will from the very day I got the packet in the mail. But, you know, I moved very slowly, though. You know, I have moved quickly on some big choices, and they didn't work out. And I'll admit that in my life. I made, you know, just moving type of situations through my early part of my marriage, and it just. You know, and I learned that when I moved here, this was the biggest decision probably I was ever going to make. You know, I was leaving comfort, as I've said before. I had a home. I had a lot of great opportunities. I was a full-time assistant pastor. I mean, many, many great things. But you know what? When I had to come to the point of making a decision, I had to look at the big picture. Yes, I knew it was God's will, but you know what? I did not go ahead and disregard my family, though. You know, I knew that, you know, I had to think. I had to put myself, and I'm talking to moms and dads, when you make some big decisions and some big choices, look at the big picture. Look at your kids. Look at others around you. How will it affect others around you? And I'm not saying if a child goes, you know, this just isn't fair. Why are you going to do this? I'm not saying you don't make a move or make choices because of that. Okay? You've got to, you know, try to work with your kids and try to get them to understand. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to look at the big picture. You know, sometimes you say, well, it looks like it's so much greener over there, so you know what? We're just going to pack up our bags and go. And I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to feast on green pasture. It's going to be a whole lot better. It's going to be so much more wonderful and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, it's not always that way. Now, let me just say this. In my case, I'm right where God wants me to be. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you misunderstand me, but I'm trying to help you tonight. Sometimes we just make these flippant decisions, and it turns out to be very detrimental, not to you, but to your family. When I was, it took me 10 years to get through Bible college. You say, is it because you're dumb? Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. We can laugh. It's okay. I say, preacher, don't say that. It's all right. Some of you are thinking it anyways. I just wanted to help you out a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, I'm laughing tonight, amen? It's all right. Man, gotta laugh at ourselves. I'll laugh at me. Okay. You said it's a fake laugh, I know. That's all right. But it took me 10 years. And a lot of it was because of my instability. You know, I'd move out, and if I didn't think things went quite my way, I'd go ahead and say, well, I'm gonna move back to me. This isn't fake. You know, I had a little Children of Israel moment a few different times. My wife will tell you that. And I did that. You say, how did that go again? You know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? I wonder sometimes, had I gone ahead from the very start and just stuck with where I was supposed to be from the very beginning, where I would be today. Now, I look at some of the opportunities maybe that was missed. Now, looking where I am today, I know, again, God had his hand through them 10 years and different things because I am where God wants me to be. But what I'm trying to say, we got to be very careful. Look at the big picture. You know, how will it affect your children? How will it affect your family? How will it affect, you know, sometimes we'll just go ahead and move from place to place to place, and it really, really, you know what? After a while, your wife says, this is old, man. And it's no wonder why we have some fights in marriage. Because you know what? We, as maybe looking at it from my view, and I'm telling on myself, we, you know, I make some bad choices and bad decisions and moving back and forth and back and forth and so forth. No wonder why it put some strain. It did put some strain in our marriage early in our years. And what I'm trying to say, you know what? You want to go ahead and have some less strain in your marriage. You know what? You know what? If you'd start making some decisions based upon the Word of God, and you start walking with God consistently and regularly and allow Him to lead you and guide you, you know what? Your choices, and you put your choices and your decisions in the hands of God, you're going to be okay. Because you know what? They're in the hands of God. You know, but you need to look at the big picture. If you don't, you could affect your family. You know, it surprised me. I go bus calling, whether it was Maine or here and so forth, and sometimes you get these kids excited. They'll give a flyer. Oh, we're going to do this? I've never been to church before. They're excited. They run up, and, hey, can we go talk to your mama? We go running up and so forth. Hey, mama, you know, I'm so-and-so from Faith Baptist Church. And so, you know, I met your little boy out here, just gave him a flyer. They want to go to church. No! No! And this little kid, yeah, I want to go. No! How often I've seen that, and it's no wonder that we're raising a generation of kids that don't care about church, God, or anything else that has to do with the Lord. It's no wonder. Listen, that mama, that daddy doesn't see the big picture. That mama and daddy doesn't see the fact that getting their child, even under the Word of God, and seeing that little boy and girl saved and as a result of them coming to church, might go ahead and improve their home life. might go ahead and improve their life, period. They might come to church and get saved. They just don't see the big picture. Number three, godly counsel is often necessary on big decisions, especially when you're not quite sure. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counsels, they are established. Seems like sometimes we want to go ahead and find the counselor that will agree with what I want to do. You know, by the way, that's not what that verse means. Well, a multitude of counselors, there is safety, or purpose will be established. Okay, you know what? Let me see. My pastor might exactly get what I want to say, so I'm going to go to him. Oh, you know, he didn't. So, okay, let me go to my youth leader. Let me go to my mom, my dad. Kids know how to work, mom and dad, huh? They've already got it figured out. Let me see. No, mom would say no. Dad, how you doing? Immediately, you know what? Warning, it should be warning. What do you want? You know what I'm talking about. That's not what it's talking about. You know, in a multitude of counselors, you know what? When you make a big decision, sometimes you've got to go ahead and you've got to get some godly counsel. A multitude of counselors can be your preacher, can be a godly mom and daddy, can be a youth leader, can be your Sunday school teacher, could be a bus captain, could be a godly coach. I'm talking about godly authority that God has gone ahead and placed over you. And I've illustrated it before, but you put a child right there in the center of all them people. And when all of them are on the same page, you know what? There's safety, by the way, for that child. There is safety. When we're on, I'm talking about leadership. I know here, well, you know, we shouldn't do this way. We shouldn't do that this way. Or the Sunday school teacher said that, you know what? No. I'm talking about when we are on the same page. You want to go ahead. I talk about wanting to reach the next generation. That's what we're trying to do here. You know what? When we're singing the same tune according to the Word of God, you know what? It might just be that we can salvage the next generation because of the way that we handled them. I'm talking about that child. I'm talking about that teenager. When they're in the center and we'll link arm in arm. You've seen me do it before. We'll link arm in arm and so forth. And we're just going forward. Whenever the devil tries to attack, you know what? The devil will try to look in that multitude of counselors when you're linked to them. He'll try to find that weak link. That little disgruntled person, that little disgruntled Sunday school teacher, that little disgruntled preacher, that little disgruntled leader, if you will, supposed to be a godly leader and so forth, and this child's life depends upon that leader being submitted to the will of God and teaching and training that kid. But when we have a little bit of disgruntled, whoa, right there, the devil says, ooh, right, I can get that kid. You know, that's why, you know what, leaders, we got to be in this book. You got to be on the same page together simply because this child is depending on us. Yeah, they're depending on God, but the truth of the matter is they don't know God well enough, but we ought to know God well enough to be able to teach them, say, hey, buddy, this is where I want you to go. You know what? God's got a purpose and a plan for you. You're called to preach, and you're called to be a preacher's wife and so forth, and we're not going to bicker. We're going to stand strong. We're going to stand strong for the Word of God because I want to see you make it. You know what? If we're going to salvage the next generation, we got to, hey, leaders, we need to make right decisions for that kid. We got to make some right decisions. But when you have to make big decisions, you need to get some counsel. Devastation will come if there's a weak link there. First, acknowledge God, but you know what? When you got to make a big decision, you ought to use the pastor and other godly authority. I mean, I've helped make some decisions for people this week. You know, when I bought my house, I was an assistant pastor, but when I bought my house, you know who I went to first? My preacher. I needed to know a little bit about buying a house. When I bought my car, preacher, you know, give me a little advice about this. Young people, when you make a college decision, you ought to go ahead and talk to your mom and dad about it. You ought to talk to your preacher about it. You know, let me say this. You know, I think every young person ought to go to 1 year of Bible college. At least 1 year. At least give God 1 year. You know, if anything, it gets you out. It gets you out on your own a little bit, in a very secure environment. You ought to give God 1 year in a good Bible college. And you know what? When you make a decision about Bible college, of course, I have I have a certain list of Bible colleges that I can highly recommend, and people often, teenagers through the years, well, where should I go, you know, and I'd help them, steer them to the college that would be helpful for them. But when you make that college decision, you ought to get counsel. You ought to be praying. You ought to get counsel about that mate. I'm talking about your future mate, young people. Adult, if you feel like you need to change a job or whatever, you know, you ought to go ahead and get counsel about it. Make sure it's the right thing. Sometimes we look at, well, it's going to be a bigger salary, but how will it affect the family? Will you have to move? Talk about decision making. If you decide to date as a teenager, boy, some of these questions ought to come from a godly man and woman in your life. Does he or she love the Lord? Do they go to church? Do they respect mom and dad? Do they revere the word of God? Do they listen to mom and dad? And you know what? If your mom and dad or some godly counselor says, you know what, you may not, and I've done this a few times, I've had to do this a few times, you may not want to consider that girl, that boy. You know what? And when they say that, young person, you ought to say, okay. Okay. Because that godly leader knows something you don't. Hey, listen. You know, when you make big decisions, look at the big picture. Don't let your peers determine your decisions. It amazes me the people that will run to for help. Don't let your peers determine your decisions. Don't make a decision if you're not in the right mind to make one. You know, of course, Moses here, he had to make a decision. But don't make a decision if you're not in the right mind to make one. If you're under an intense amount of pressure and you got to make some big decision, that's probably not a good time to make that big decision. You know, if you can buy a little time and not make that choice or make that decision right then, you know what, it might be good to pray about it a little bit longer. Again, get to some counselor about some advice and so forth. If your decision maker, so to speak, is broken, that's not a good time to go ahead and make a decision. If a terrible report or some fallout comes your way, it's generally a bad time to make a decision. When my wife had cancer, I or someone else, and she'll tell you, went with her to her appointments. I mean, that was a big announcement. That was a life-changing announcement. The truth of the matter is, you know what? And the reason why someone went with her, or I myself went with her to her appointments, was, especially the preliminary ones, was when the doctor was trying to explain some things. Here she is, okay, a cancer patient, trying to take in the fact, I have cancer? And the doctor is saying other things and procedures and some things that happen. And you know what? To her or to anybody in that situation, you're just not getting it all. And someone there has to really be the ears and the eyes and listen to what's going on. Ultimately, I'm moving right along, doing pretty good. Your choices will make you or break you. We kind of said that. We talked about that earlier. They'll determine your destiny. Right? You know, right choices, right decisions will reap big dividends. You know, I've been in the ministry for almost a dozen years, and I've said it before, but it's a joy to me to see young people who have gone up through the ranks that I had a part of, and now they're serving God. That's exciting. That's big dividends. And it's nice to see the next generation, man, they actually got it. Some of them actually got it. I'd be preaching and leading my teenagers. I'd go to my preacher, I don't know if they're getting it, man. Sometimes, you know what? If you worked with young people, mom and daddy, you sometimes wonder, are they getting it? You'd be surprised. The right choices, young people, reap big dividends. Bad choices reap severe consequences. Your choices should determine what kind of will determine what kind of reward you get. Moses, who again deserved the promised land, he did. I'm sorry, he deserved it. But because he broke one rule, he broke God's law. One bad choice, one bad moment. Doesn't matter what it is. You know what? It was sin, and God said, you know what? There's a consequence for it. But Moses, I don't know whether this was mean, but this is what God did. Moses, you're an old man. Come up here on Mount Nebo. Now you see that all that land over there? That's what you could have had. But Moses, you remember? Back in the wilderness, I told you to go ahead and speak to the rock. Yes, God. And I guarantee you, Moses being the kind of man of God that he was, that was a thought, that was a heartbreaker for the rest of his life. Let me just, you know, there's a problem if we have fun in our sin. You know, think about that. You know what? I guarantee you, Moses was close to God. He saw God face to face. He was real close to God. But yet, you know what? He was not exempt from consequences of sin either. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, and I guarantee you, and again, people, I don't know, you know, no. He stuck with God's plan because you know what? He knew that he could not get there, but you know what? He had to lead these that were following him to there. He had to do everything he could. You know what? Okay, I blew it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have to stay on Mount Nebo. I'm only going to be able to see what I could have got. But you know what? I'm going to stick with the task because these guys here, these children here, you know what? They can go into the promised land. That's one reason why we shouldn't quit. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Moses, I guarantee you, it was a daily thing that, you know, I can't believe I did that. And now, I could have had that beautiful land that God promised, but my sin kept me from it. I could have gone ahead and gotten to God's best, but my sin kept me from it. You know, that ought to be a problem. I mean, if you're having fun in sin tonight, man, I'd search your heart. That's all I'm going to say. Man, you know what? If you're living in some sort of sin tonight and you know it and the Holy Spirit's been trying to get it, you know, you ought to get that thing right. Listen, ultimately your choices will make you or break you. Your choices could determine the reward that you get. Once you make a choice, you'll have to live with the consequences of that choice. But remember, and I love this, if you make a bad choice, you can still be restored. I am sure, and I don't know all of you all's background, I don't know. You know, we all have regrets of some sort. I wish I hadn't done this. You know, we all have regrets. And all of us are here tonight. That's okay. All of us are here tonight because maybe you could take me back, and I don't know, but maybe you could take me back and say, you know, preacher, when I was a kid or when I was a teenager or when I was a young man, when I was a young lady, man, I was wicked. And now because you've been restored, now because someone showed you the gospel through the years and someone went ahead and they didn't just go ahead and keep you, oh, you're useless and so on. No, you have been restored. And as I mentioned a moment ago, you know now, I can't be all that maybe I could have had. But you know what? God's given me a generation, my own children. God's given me a position. God's given me something to do that's a leadership position of some sort or whatever the case may be. And I dead sure don't want them to live the way I live. And you know what, we're all here. It doesn't matter who we are, we're all here tonight because of restoration. We'd all be doomed for hell, amen, had Jesus not gone to the cross. I thank God he restored my soul. I thank God I'm on my way to heaven tonight. But you know what, let me just say this. It doesn't matter who we are, if you made a bad choice, maybe you're living in that bad choice tonight, you know what, you can be restored. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, beat them up. Make fun of them. Turn your back on them. No. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual. That's the church. That's a godly Christian. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Cody, come up here. He's a dirty, rotten sinner. Get down. Man. All right. Okay, stay down. That's the plan, okay? Wow. Getting a little bigger and stronger the last, I don't know, how old are you? But you know what? Listen. Here's a sinner. You know, it's sad that even some churches, some Christians, you know, we ought to be so soul sensitive that even when the worst sinner, or when a Christian backslides and they're falling down, we ought not be the kind of Christian, the kind of church that says, "You're useless. Get out of my face. I won't kick you through." You know, get you. No. That's not who we ought to be. That's not my kind of Christianity. And that, by the way, that's not the kind of Christ I serve. Jesus, you know, he died for all. You know what? Maybe this young man went ahead and he's down because of some bad choices, some bad decisions. Maybe he can't necessarily go and reach the fullest potential that God had for him. But we as a church family, we as godly people, we as children of God, you know what? It doesn't matter where they are spiritually in their life. You know what? The Bible says, pick them up. Amen. Says, you know what? God's got something big for you. You know what? Maybe, you know, okay, you messed up. It's okay. But you know what? The multitude of counselors who are on the same page, we reach down and we pick up those that need to be restored that have fallen, considering ourselves, because we could be there. But you know what? This is who we ought to be as in our area of soul winning, in our area of people that maybe we think in our mind they shouldn't be in that place spiritually, they're backslidden or whatever. But we ought not be the kind of Christian where we, no. Guess what? I want to be the kind of pastor, the kind of dad, the kind of leader that says, you know what? You messed up, but come with me. I'm going to help restore you. Maybe not to the plane that you could have been, but you know what? God can still use this man. You remember the prodigal son? You know, every time I think of that story, that parable, I think of what that father went through. He loved his son. I think of probably when the son went his own way, wanted his money and his treasures and go lived in riotous living. That broke daddy's heart. You know, and I see that dad every day going down to the end of that long drive. Each and every day, maybe two or three times a day, I don't know. Son coming back. Son coming back. You know what? When that prodigal son came to himself, and I mentioned it this morning a little bit, he realized, what am I doing here in this pig pen? And he went back to his father. A father that restored him. Could that son have all the benefits that the son that stayed home had? No. But you know what? That daddy still loved him just the same. Maybe. Listen. Decisions determine your destiny. You want to choose whatever and choose the world, you know what? You're going to reap what the world gives you. You want to choose Christ and be sold out for Jesus Christ, teenager, young person, mama and daddy. You know what? There's going to be some wonderful rewards. Moses, a great man of God. I love to study Moses. One bad choice. One bad choice. Pay was a big, huge payment to him. One bad choice was detrimental to where he finished, where he could have gone. God's main intention, leader of the children of Israel, home for that position, God wanted Moses to enjoy the promised land just like the rest of them. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know what? And there's a consequence for his sin. And there he is on Mount Nebo, the end of his life, only looking what he could have had. Young person, as your preacher, I want God's best for you. You families here tonight, you know this. I say it over and over. I want God's best for you. That's why I won't sway from this book right here, and I'm not going to sway from our position, because I ultimately know and I believe. I've seen this work. I've been in the ministry a lot. I've seen it work. And I ain't a changing. And the truth of the matter is, I want you young people to make right choices. You get to a point where you feel like you can't make a, you're frustrated. You get to your godly mom or daddy. You get to your preacher. You get to one of the multitude of counselors. And you do what they say. It may not always be what you want to hear. But you say, okay, preacher, I won't do that. Mom and daddy, I won't do that. I won't do that. Okay. You help them make some decisions in your life. Mom and daddy, you stay consistent. Sunday school teacher, you stay consistent. Bus worker, you stay consistent. You make right choices in your life, and you will help these under you make some right choices. Our Heavenly Father, very unique, different message, I think, tonight, perhaps, I don't know, you spoke to my heart. Wanted to give it to my people the very best I could tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that there'll be some great decisions made tonight. I pray, Lord, that maybe there's some young people that might be kind of right on the edge of making some bad choices, that they're going to be drawn away from that tonight before it hurts them. I pray, dear God, that there'd be some mamas and daddies tonight decide, you know, I'm going to stay consistent, make right choices in my life so that I can help my kids make right choices. God, this preacher right here, I vow to you that you help me make right choices so I can make right choices for this church. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done, very simple, very practical message. I hate to have any of us be like a Moses, seeing what we could have had in our life. Rather, I'd rather have everyone here have your best for them, instead of some bad choice, kind of limiting them from what they could receive. Now, Lord, we love you. Bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, our heads about.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, thank you for this wonderful message. Help us, Lord, this week, as we are going to come across choices that will determine destiny. Heavenly Father, thank you that the first choice we had to make that determined our destiny was Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for my salvation. Thank you for the joy that exists, Father, in my heart tonight. And Lord, thank you for the preaching of God's Word. Help us this week to make choices, Lord, the right choices based on your Word, that you may be glorified. Be with everyone here. Dismiss them to the now, Lord, in your hands and in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.